Well, good afternoon. Now, we're going to try to keep you awake. But yesterday,
we started Friday night, we're going to throw my right arm over and then the fly. And then, of course, the bottom line is that you have a little over and you have a little
arthritis in it. The weather changed, and it gave me trouble all day yesterday, and the later it got, the worse it got. So I told the Lord, I said, well, if I'm going to go to Enid, you're going to have to help me. And so he did. I had just a pretty good night's sleep last night, which I appreciate. And so it felt like probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Lord wanted me to come to Enid. Felt like early part of the week, he gave me a message. And so we desire your prayers. I've been glad if Sister Mary would have gone on with what she had. I was subject to that. So you might see a more docile Carl in the pulpit this afternoon. You've seen it once. You might get to see it again. Because I'm not going to maybe move this on a whole lot, I don't think. But I won't guarantee you anything. Just pray for me. My burden this afternoon is heavy. It's a evangelistic cry, I guess is the best way I can put it. And I want to ask you some questions before I get into my message, and I'll write my title on the board. What is the most valuable possession that you and I deal with? What's our most valuable possession? Our soul? All right. Now, what is the most important job that you can do? Our work. That doesn't have to be your soul work, so to speak, but just something that you can do. What would be something that would be most important of all? Now, don't go to sleep on me yet. I ain't got started yet. All right. So when Christ came, what did he think was important? What was his mission? Why did he come? What was he interested in? All right. You're doing good. How did he work at it? Let's get 2 or 3 scriptures right here to kind of get a start. John 4 and 34. St. John 4 and 34. And also 17 and 14 of John. 6 and 38 of John. 4 and 34 of John here. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him. All right, then 6 and 38. Let's get that one. John 6 and 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. All right, then John 17 and 4, he says here, said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And about the 5th verse, 5 through 10. Wherefore, 10 and 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. But then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, Jesus come for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're here this afternoon for a reason. About a month after Rebecca died, I was crying over her age one morning. I spent the night down at the chapel. Another brother was down there, and I wasn't alone for about the first month or a little over. I was always had somebody in the home with me. My daughter, when she was living there, she stayed about a month and a half after Rebecca died. She was there part of the time. I was at Brother Ron's part of the time, or I was at the chapel. Anyway, I was crying, and I said, Lord, she was so young. She was so young. And he said, age doesn't matter to me, child. It's eternity that counts. The bottom line is the soul. The bottom line is the work of God. The bottom line is, he come. Jesus prayed all night at times. He went from place to place. He preached to them, and he taught them, he healed them, he saved them, he fed them. He blessed their children, he attended a wedding, plus all the other things he did. He done this because of the soul. So why did he do it? Why did he go from place to place? In Hebrews 2 and 6, it said, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? Today, saints, I believe I've got a little bit deeper look into this particular scripture. It's quoted out of the 8th chapter of Psalms. And thinking about that, why is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, why are you mindful? God, why are you mindful of us? Because he loved us. He created. Well, number one, he created us. And he loved us. And Jesus loved us. And Jesus came to make a new way. Jesus came to do what nothing else would do. What the old wouldn't, he's bringing in the new. He's bringing in the disposition of grace. He's bringing in a way for salvation for you and I that we could have what nobody had ever had, praise God. He's bringing in a great way. Now then, so he went. He came. Well, he came. He came. So why should we? My verse this afternoon is go ye. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher, Brother Carl. You don't have to be. Everybody in here can work for God. Everybody in here can help people. Everybody can do something for somebody. And sometimes I think if we're not very careful, we get our minds off this way a little too much or that way. We should try as best we can. I know you're the bulk of, there's only three of us in here that are preachers. But the bottom line is still all of us should look at that person as a soul. That person that needs help. That person that's lost. That's wallowing in the lonely grubs of sin. That's got all kinds of problems. We ought to look at them and say, they need God. They need salvation. I want to help them. You say, well, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Now then, you've got to be called to be a minister. And in a sense, you've got to be called for your pastorals and your missionaries and all that. But in a sense, everyone in here is a missionary. I looked up the idea. What is a missionary? A missionary is one sent to propagate religion. What's the word propagate mean? It means to spread from person to person, to extend, to give birth to originate, to spread, as to propagate a story or report. To carry from place to place, to extend by planting and establishing in places before destitute, as to procreate a Christian religion. It means to extend, to increase. Now listen, young people, you can do this. Older people, you can do this. Middle-aged, You can do this. This is not just set to the minister. You and I working together, all of us as one body in unity with power. There's not any congregation I know of among the church of God that don't need more people, that doesn't need more members, so to speak. We all would be interested to have a bigger congregation. I preach to them all the way from one person all the way to hundreds. But the bottom line is souls. And Lord, help us this afternoon to look, to consider, to weigh that God come, Jesus come, and He died. He gave His whole life. His whole focus was on the soul of mankind, the eternity for mankind, and the power for mankind to live a life that they had never lived before. All right. Let's go to Matthew 16, 14. Matthew 16 and 14. This will be one of my texts right here. I got two sets here. No, that's not right. You don't have this problem, but for some reason, let's see. What over here? No, it's Mark. It's Mark 16, 14. I knew something was wrong. Mark 16, 14. I wrote down Matthew. I knew something was right. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The Lord still wants to go with people. He wants to confirm things, set place in faith. He wants people to see there is a power. He wants people to see there is a divine healing, salvation, power and glory, sanctification. He wants to see the workings of the Spirit of God right here in the earth today. All right, we go to 28 of Matthew. 28 of Matthew and about the 16th verse. And it said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to Me in heaven and earth. He said, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So He's saying here, go ye. Go ye therefore. He's saying over here, go ye into all the world. The Lord wants us to go. He wants us to have a mission, so to speak, and reach out for people to help them. As we go about our life's duty, some people say, well, how do you do it? Well, let's look into the Scriptures and get different places of what the Lord has laid out for you and I. Let's go to John 15 and 16. John 15. I got quite a few Scriptures this afternoon. John 15 and 16. He said, you've not chosen Me. Now this is up above this. This is talking about the vine and the branches. And the fifth verse, He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. Any man abide not in Me is cast before the branches withered. Men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. And then it goes down into this 16th verse. And He said, you've not chosen Me, but I've chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you. Now, you and I are called to get saved by the power of God. We don't just, some people want to get saved maybe, but the bottom line, you and I can't get to Christ without the conviction and the workings of the Spirit of God. We can start praying, but the Lord has to work with you and I. And the bottom line is we're chosen. We're chosen of God. We're hand-chosen by the Spirit, by the power of the workings of the Spirit of God. Listen, folks, we have the highest, greatest choosing, so to speak. You and I are chosen by God, not just mankind, but we're chosen by God to do something for God, to be a vessel for God, to bring forth fruit unto God, to do something that will help mankind. He wants us to go forth. He wants us to bring forth fruit, righteous fruit, godly fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace, of long-suffering and all of these different things. He wants you and I to go forth and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, where that it will be attracting to other people, and they may want something. They don't see it out there in the world. I told my daughters for years, I said, the world is dog eat dog. They just want to hurt people and kill people and destroy people. But when they run into somebody that's got love, mercy, and pity, got long suffering, and will reach out to them and show them something that you can't get in the world, it's going to do something of touching them. So you need to first have the life of salvation. Have this Spirit like we heard about so good this morning, of a sweet Spirit, of a unflappable Spirit, of a Spirit that will touch people. Oh, and that Spirit, as it goes forth and it brings forth fruit, it touched the king. This one touched this one. Like I said, Saul was touched by Stephen. And different ones were touched in the Bible by the workings of those other people. Elijah, wasn't it? When I had the offering, it was Elijah, whatever one it was. Anyway, they, you know, call him all your problems and all this, had 400, I believe it was, and then put the offering up and do this and do that and fill it with water and do it again and do it again. And they done it, and they cried and they prayed. I believe they cut themselves. And he said, do it some more. He mocked them in a sense. Do it more. They couldn't get it. Well, maybe he's asleep. Still couldn't get it. And he prayed what? A simple little prayer. Listen, both people need to see a simple little prayer. They need to see a prayer that touches God. They need to see a prayer that will answer. God will answer in word. It doesn't have to be a long, fantastic prayer, so to speak, or one of that would maybe tickle the ear, but he wants a sincere, fruitful prayer. One that will get their attention. So go forth and bring forth fruit. Said, I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Let's go to 20 of Acts. Acts, the 20th chapter now. Acts 20, about the 18th. Acts 20 and 18. About 20 and 17. And from Miletus, he said to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came in Asia, that what manner I have been with you at all seasons. You've watched me, you've seen me, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that is profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Now, this is Paul writing here. None of these things move me. Nearly count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see me, see my face no more. Now he said here, I'm going to go. He said, I've held back nothing. I've held back nothing that was profitable. When people see that we're our burden for them, our desire, our love, when they feel that, when they see that, when they know we're giving them something that will help them, that's going to touch them. That we're willing to stick our necks out, so to speak. That we're willing to give our very life, so to speak, to help them. That does something. And it said, but none of these things move me. No, that's not the one I want. He said here, but now behold, 22, I go bound in the Spirit. In other words, God is leading me. He's directing me and working with me. Lord, help you and I today to be led by that Spirit. That's the key point in this, to be led by that Spirit. The Spirit of love and power. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost to say, I want you to go talk to this one. I want you to get a track over here. I need you to call this one. I know of a minister that made a bad mistake one time. They was coming into a city at night. They'd been gone, been out driving or going to services somewhere. I don't even know where that was. And they was coming back into their hometown. And the Lord told them, said, I want you to go to the hospital. I don't know anybody sick in the hospital. I want you to go to the hospital. Well, they passed it up. They didn't go. And they got home and they got a call. And that call was that somebody needed them right at the time that the Lord was telling them to go. And they regretted that because I think that person died not too long after that. And maybe they really didn't get. Lord, help us to be bound in the Spirit. In other words, to be in such a burden, a desire, a love for a person's soul that they can see it and feel it and know what we're trying to do for them. So I go bound. I'm going to do something for the Lord. Again, people say, well, I'm not Paul. Well, I'm not either. But you can do something for God. You can do something for the Lord. Young people, you can do something. You can do something. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Matthew 20:1. Matthew 20:1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers unto his vineyard. When he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last and the first. And when they came, that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should ever receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but one hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Now, the working for God, we're all going to end up getting paid the same thing. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been the way, what family line you're of, we're all going to end up with the very same pay at the end of the day. It's balanced, it's equal. Why? Somebody's been in there, there's been pastors that pastored two or three congregations, evangelists that traveled thousands and thousands of miles, they've been missionaries that traveled thousands of miles and worked all over across the world. Well, they ought to get more. No. The Lord said, I'm going to give everybody a penny. We're all going to get the same at the end of the way. So consequently, you young people, you say, well, I can't do anything. You can. You get the very same thing everybody else will. The Lord wants us to work as unto Him, giving all that He would have us to do, no matter what that call might be, no matter what that burden might be. He wants you and I to give Him everything that we can. We'll all get the same thing. But I guarantee you, as you go down the way, there's going to be blessings that is so powerful and so rich that you can't hardly contain them. I have been so blessed that I thought I would explode more than one time because of the blessings of the Lord, of the glory of the Lord, of the working of the Spirit of God. And I didn't feel like I deserved it, but God just blessed me because I was doing His will. Oh, young people, you can have that too. You can get, you can have, you can do the things that the Lord would have you to do. All right, let's go to Luke 7 and 19. Luke 7 and 19. And the disciples of John shewed him of all these things. And John called unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or we look for another, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things that you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now then, what have you seen? If we open this up, what have you seen? What have you heard? What do you know? He's saying, this is what has happened. Listen, saints, today there's still healings happening. God's still healing in 2019. God's still saving in 2019. God's still delivering souls. He's delivering people from spirit, devil-possessed people, and so on. He's still working. He's still delivering. He's still blessing. He's still working. Listen, folks, these things, we can use them. You need to gather all the information you can, everything that you can get a hold of, everything that you can hear from the pastor to the evangelist to the meetings to the revivals to the camp meetings, the assembly meetings, the board meetings. You need to get everything you can. And then you can take that knowledge and that you've seen, that you've heard, that you understood, that you've expressed, that you've had yourself a foundation that God has built, and you can take that and you can share that. Amen. You can share that with people. God is still working today. Said, go your way and tell John what things that you've seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised to the poor, the gospel is preached. In other words, what he is saying here is, I am fulfilling the mission that I come for. I am doing all of these things. So don't tell John. He wants you to tell people. He wants you to express. Well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Moses said he couldn't do it. But everything ended up, God used Moses. He used Aaron. He's used people all the way down. In one place he said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Praise God. He wants you to take the things that are in the Bible. He wants you to take the things that you've seen and you've heard, that you've experienced. And he wants you to share that with people. There was a man that has a wife back in the East. She's a chain smoker. I'm not sure if she still is, but this is, I'm speaking off several years back. And he was talking to me. And I listened to him, and he said, we tried everything. She can't quit her. She can't give up smoking. I said, have you ever told her what the Lord done? He stopped, thought a minute. It's like a light went on his head. I said, tell her what Jesus done. Have you not heard from your father, from your uncles and your aunts and the saints? Have you not heard God delivers from smoking? Yeah. I said, tell her. Tell her what Jesus can do. Let her know that God can save her and deliver her from the pound of cigarette. Do it. He wants you to do the same thing. Say, well, I don't have that testimony. Neither do I. I never smoked in my life. But I can tell what I know. I can tell, I've read, I've seen, I've heard testimony. Brother Philman Macon had a powerful testimony about him being addicted to cigarettes and how the Lord delivered him from that. There's been others down through the years that have been addicted, that have heard. Go and tell them. Let them know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's got all power today to help you, to deliver you, to bless you, to work with you. Let them know that. Tell them. Tell them. All right, let's go to Matthew 28 and 1. Matthew 28, back to Matthew 28 and 1. He said here, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Can you picture this? These ladies are going with the greatest story, and they met their Savior. And they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Oh, there is something, folks, that need to be cried loud and clear, is a resurrection from the dead. This is the bottom line of the whole thing right here. If he would not have come out of that grave, if he would not have busted the chains of death, if he had not done that, you and I would not have what we've got today. But Christ is risen. The Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe that. They're sad. One minister said, I can keep them apart because the Sadducees, they don't believe it. They're sad. Well, today, listen, there's people that maybe just don't believe it, but you can tell them. You can let them know. How much do you know? How much have you read? How much have you heard? He said, go and tell them. Let my disciples know. I'm alive, praise God. I'm risen from the dead. I've got power in heaven and earth. I've got everything that God sent me. I've gone through the whole thing, and it's all sent out. And it's all finished by this, the resurrection. Now we've got power. Now we've got glory. Oh, go and tell them. Go and tell my disciples I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm not bound. I'm not wrapped. I'm not chained. I'm free, praise God. I am the power and the resurrection. And I'm going to do for you and all the others what I come down here to do, praise God. Oh, you need to tell of the resurrection. You need to let it be known. Jesus is risen from the dead. And because of that, it's all there for you and I. Take of the gospel, because he finished it up. He didn't just die. He died, but he came back alive. Oh, by the power of God. Oh, they have finished the very thing. It was years in the making. It was started before the foundation of the world. But now that it's all finished, can you imagine the glory, the blessings? Can you imagine? Some people want to say women don't do anything for God. I beg your pardon. The first two preachers, so to speak, were women. There, here they are after he risen now, I'm going to talk about. Here they are. He sent them forth. Don't tell them. Young ladies, you can tell something. Young men, you can tell something. You can go and tell. Go and tell them what's happened, praise God. I'm alive and I've risen from the dead. Oh, today, what have you been telling lately? All right, let's go to Acts 28 and 23. Acts 28 and 23. And when they had appointed a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing, ye shall hear, shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. The heart of this people is wax crows. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Right here is where Jesus, well, God, basically rejected the Jewish nation. And he's turned this thing over to everybody. How many in here are Jews? I dare say most of us, you're a Jew? A spiritual Jew. Okay, you almost got me that very far. Yeah, we're all spiritual Jews, but I'm talking about the bloodline of the Jews. I don't know of anybody in here being the bloodline of the Jews. We are Gentiles, but it's been open to us. He wanted this open to everybody. And so consequently, I've sent you all to the Jews. I went to the Jews. I've done everything I could do. And yet, they rejected. They crucified me. And he got to the point now that I'm going to send you all out to the Gentiles. I'm going to let them know that there is a way. Now then, I want to tell you something. It said here in the 27th verse, for the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear, see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be a doubter right here, but the bottom line is there's still people out there just like that. Not everybody out there is going to just be wanting everything that you have. There was a man one time who was working on the janitor job with many years ago, back in the late 70s, and he was of another denomination, and we were trying to help him. And the Lord spoke to me one night and said, you can never help this man. Well, I was headstrong that I was going to try anyway. The Lord's got to help you, though, if you get anywhere. And I wouldn't get anywhere, but I was still trying. One night, we had three of us. And we give him scripture. We talked to him, and we worked, and we dealt with him, and we laid it out. All three of us working together. And I got through, and we hadn't made any ground at all, seemed like. And I went home discouraged. Sometimes you're going to get discouraged, folks. Sometimes it seems like you're going to run into a brick wall once in a while going and telling them. But I got news for you. The Lord spoke to me. He said, what did I tell you, child? I told you you couldn't help him. But I was bullheaded enough to try anyway. Well, today, there's still people out there that don't want the gospel. But it's our job to give, to bring out, to expound, to go ye, to do everything we can do. If they reject it, it's them. You've done your part. You've given it to them. You've told them about them. I had some people that used to just be down from my service station there on 50th Street, and they come up there, and they were doing what you call shacking up. Now back then, back in the 70s, there wasn't as much of that nowhere near what there is today. And they were a nice couple. I preached to them over and over and over. How far are you? Not very far. They didn't want to listen to me. I wondered what happened to her. They were so nice. And I would talk to them and work with them. But I never could get them to church. But I didn't quit. That's the bottom line. There's going to be times you want to climb in a corner and say, I'm not going to do it anymore. But the Bible said, go ye. I didn't quit. Brother Bob didn't quit. Sister Mary didn't quit. Now, I may be wrong, but I imagine you all have hit your hot spots too. It ain't always been rosy-posy. It's been times that there's been some discouraging times that has happened. Well, he still says go. These people got the heart of this people's wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should hear with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. He still wants it told. He still wants you and I to let them know. Let them know what is going on. All right, let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13 and 31. Just a couple of scriptures here. Luke 13 and 31. Go ye. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said to them, go ye, tell that fox. Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. There's some foxes out there. There's some lions out there and tigers and bears. There are some spirits out there that are hard spirits to deal with. But again, he says go. He said, I want you to go. Now again, you need to be led by the Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit. But the bottom line is, he wants us to do something. He doesn't want us just to sit around and do nothing. All right, Matthew 22, and I may not read all of this here, time's getting away on me, but Jesus answered and said to them again by the parables and said, 22 and 1 of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now then, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come into the marriage. They made light of it and so forth. Went on down, and he said here, they're rejecting and not wanting and so forth. He said, because what they've done, he said, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, that and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, there's still a wedding going on. There is still the feast for you and I to invite people to. And he said, go to the highways and the hedges. Look at that one place. Well, it doesn't say hedges here, but one place it says to the hedges. Go therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. In other words, God has got the Son. He's got the marriage supper set. He's ready for people to come in. And he's telling you and I to go to the places that maybe you don't go very often. To the places that would be maybe out of your comfort zone. And you're going to need to go out there and say, hey, I know somewhere. Have you gone to the highways? Have you gone to the hedges? As many as you find shall find bid to the marriage. In other words, this is something special. This is not just anything. Now, we had a wedding last Saturday, a week ago. Not yesterday, but a week ago. We had a beautiful bride, fine-looking groom, and a nice wedding. They had, I don't know what they had at the reception. I didn't go to the reception, though. I didn't have time. But they had a nice setup. Well, this is the greatest marriage wedding feast you can have anywhere. There's the groom. There's the bride. There's all the food. Did you, any of you hear that message Brother Marty preached talking about the food, the tables? He preached in the last Guthrie meeting. Talked about like all day meeting like we have here, and he's talking about the tables got all, and he's talking about chicken
and roasted, maybe steaks and I don't know what all he said, and went down. He's thinking about the tables down this way and coming up this way, all everything there. He said, that's all for you and I to partake of. Listen, we need to go with the idea that we have the best that we can give them. This is not just anything. This is not a job with OG&E, or this is not a job with AT&T, or this is not a job for the president. This is to the wedding feast. This is for God. This is for salvation. This is the plan that Jesus has got set up. He said, go out there to the highways and bid them as many and invite them into the marriage feast. Have we done that? How many of you called anybody and asked them to meet him lately? How many of you written a card to? How many have you sent a text to or gone by and visited them? There was a sister one time that she was led of the Lord to Pastor's wife, it was. And there was another sister in the congregation that was really down and she didn't know it. But she felt led to go over there and to help her. She didn't know what she was doing, particularly far. She didn't know why she was going. She just knew she felt led to go. She had a burden to do it. We're going to have burdens that I need to call this one. And I need to call that one. The first time I went to Sinai, Missouri, back in 1980 in the fall, there was a woman there in the congregation that I preached to. And I probably went back a time or two, but anyway, she heard me preach two or three times. And then during the assembly meeting, if I remember right, the next assembly meeting, which would have been that December, Brother Lou and him got a call that this woman had died suddenly. And Brother Lou had come to me and Sister Vaughn, and they told me about, said, do you remember so-and-so? She's gone. She's gone. And you know what went through my head? Did I say the right thing? Did I preach exactly what God wanted me to preach? Listen, folks, she was in eternity. And I had a part of that. Listen, folks, if the Lord is wanting us to go out to the highways, leading us now to go to the highways, to go to the hedges, to get out of your comfort zone, to go into those places maybe you don't normally call somebody, or you go visit, maybe that relative that needs you to come by and say, won't you come to meeting today? Won't you come and be with us? I've got a track I want to give you. See, this is not just any work. This is God's work. Now, folks, the bottom line is this work's going to go far beyond AT&T, OG&E, Google, the president, all of this. No matter what we may have here, what we may get paid here, what kind of retirement we have here, this plan here goes far beyond that. It's eternity. And that's what the Lord told me. It's eternity that counts, child. I don't care what Rebecca's age was when she died. That don't matter. The bottom line is, I come to save, I come to deliver, I come to prepare, I come to take them to heaven at my time. And that time, you don't know when it is. So consequently, you and I need to be up and about the Father's business. Doing what the Lord would have us to do. Young people, you can invite young people. We need young people. We've got a nice group of young people. I love and appreciate you all. But we could have some more. I'd be glad to have some more. Middle-aged. Oh, it's nice having you all here. Or some of you a little past maybe middle-aged. I don't know. I don't know what all your age are. I just know I'm kind of getting on the upper end of this thing, to my astonishment. But we need middle-aged. We need the older ones. We need the young ones to look in the middle, and the older ones need the older looking down. We need to encourage one another, and we need to be out there saying, come. Come to the feast. I've got something for you. I know of the best place you can go. I know of the blessings that you can get. Listen, folks, it's gone far and beyond, and the retirement plan is out of this world. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, chapter, the 8th verse. Hebrews 11 and 8. Talking about Abraham here. Said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, and knowing not whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God, is God. Now then, there's going to be times, there has been times down through the years, that I'm talking about the Bible time now, just the people in the Bible, that God was working with them and they really didn't know what he was doing right then. Like Peter on the roof, remember that? He was working over here with this one and giving him this, and he was bringing it all together, and Peter had no idea what he was doing at that point. All right, you got Abraham. He was led and guided by God, and he didn't know even where he was going, so to speak. But he was following the Lord. He was doing what he said. But here's the bottom line. You and I said, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The main thing is he kept his eyes on heaven. He didn't know what all about it. You and I have a greater understanding by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God today than he did. But the bottom line, no matter what you do, you need to keep the vision of heaven for yourself in mind at all times. No matter the bumps you come into, the hard places you hit, the people that might reject, listen, folks, stay. What happened if all of you would call one person and invite them to meeting and they came? Then you call somebody the next month and they can't. And they can't. How fast will these people get to go? It doesn't take very long, will it? But the bottom line, you need to keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Even when you're going through the good times and the bad times, you can read about Brother Warner. You can read about Brother Susag. You can read about different ministers. They looks like it was all glory, glory, but I got news for you. That wasn't all perfect. And what I mean by that is they had their hard times. And some of it is in Brother Warner's book of some things he went through. The Lord help us to keep heaven in view. And no matter if we don't totally understand what God is doing, follow Him. If you need to pray twice or three times, pray. But follow Him. Abraham didn't understand everything, but he followed God. And look at what a blessing he is. Your following God can be a great blessing to a lot of people. You might not, like I say, you may not understand just everything, but follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Brother Narice Gibson, he was led by God to go different places. He was the first one, if I'm not mistaken, that went to Holly Hill, South Carolina. He didn't know totally what he was going for or who he was going to meet. But he was just following the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to do this and this. And he just done it. Till he got him right where he wanted him. You can be that person. Oh, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Just follow God. Just go ye. Do what the Lord. Pray and pray. You might, Jesus prayed all night at times. You might have to do a lot of praying. But just follow him. Abraham didn't know where he was going, so to speak. But he followed God. All right, let's go to Luke, the 10th chapter, 28th verse. Let's wrap it up now. Luke 10 and 28. Revelation 10, 25. This is the story, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, and you all have heard this over and over. He said to him, what readest thou in the law? How readest thou? Well, he said, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he goes down and he talks to him about it. And then he said, the 29th verse, but he willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So Jesus talks about a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest by the way, and a Levite. And they just passed by the other side and didn't do this dear soul any good. But said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to them, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Now which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy to him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know why the Samaritan is brought into this? Because he is the less unlikely person to help in this situation. The priest and the Levite, they should have been the one that done what the Samaritan done. But no, they passed by on the other side. Listen, folks, today there's people that's passing people by. There's people that's not doing what they ought to do. You and I should look at things and say, Lord, help me. I want to help this person, be led by the Spirit, and go there and do. Have compassion, have mercy, have pity, and reach out to them. He was wounded, he was hurt, he was half dead. You say, well, that's a lot of blood and guts, so to speak. Well, maybe it is, but there's a lot of person that's wounded spiritually, that's wounded emotionally, that's wounded mentally, that is hurting down deep. They've got deep wounds because of what some people in religious circles have done unto them. I know a man right now that what I understand, he has totally backed off from church because of what a preacher done to him. Now that's out there. So go and say, Lord, help me. Lead me, Lord, to that soul. Lead me, Lord, to that person that is wounded, that is hurting. And get in their bucket with them, as Doug says, and get there and do all you can do to help them. Invite them to meeting. Give them a Bible. Encourage them. Give them a tract. Do something to help them. Go ye. Go ye and do you likewise. Well, in other words, he had the mercy, he had the pity, he had the compassion. You go do what he did. Go out there and help him out. Go and do that likewise. There's a lot of people hurting we don't know anything about. There's a lot of people need help today. All right, let's wrap it up. Two more places. Acts 6. No, not Acts, but Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. I love this reading right here. 6:1 of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I am undone because of a man of unclean lips, who dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Oh, today, this man saw the Lord. He saw the holiness. He saw the power. He saw the glory. And as he saw it, he decided he was not what he ought to be. Said, I'm done because I'm a man of unclean lips and so forth. And the Lord gave him exactly the coal in his hand which he'd taken in the tongue and laid it upon his mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then the voice came. Now then, Lord help us. When the Lord says, who will go for us? That we're willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I. We need to be exactly where we need to be of the Lord. We need to be saved, sanctified. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. But at the same time, he said, go and tell this people. Oh, Lord, help us to go. Help us to go. Help us to go where the Lord would have us to do. What have we done for God? What have we done in the last week? The last month? The last year? Somebody said, well, it's up to the pastors and up to the evangelists. No, it's not. Not totally. When you have a revival meeting, you all can help too. You can invite people too. You can call people too. You can go visit people too. You can send letters and cards too. You can let them know, hey, we're doing something down here in Eden. We would like you to come be with me. Give them a call. Give them a text. Do something is better than doing nothing. You can call. You can text. There was a brother in the South when I was going through my group. That ever so often, roughly often, I don't know the South, I don't know if my phone is ready. But he would text me and he said, I pray for you. Man. I brought you before the Father and before the Son, I didn't say it. You got me over. There's a special bond between he and I. And there's a special bond between his Son and I. Because Dad was trying to. He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm ready and I'm willing. Are you ready this afternoon? Are you ready? And then are you willing? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to take some time out? You know, the ministers can't do everything. An evangelist needs people in the youth. They're bombing people in the pew. I don't either. Well, Brother Salmon said one time, he'd love to get about 5,000 people together in a stadium or 10,000 or whatever and say, preach repentance. Well, ministers have to have human beings preach. Now, I know of one case where a brother was led to go to a building, a chapel, and he went there and there wasn't anybody there. And he looked all around. There wasn't a soul in the building. And he said, well, Lord, there's nobody here to preach for. He said, I want you to get up there and preach. He said, Lord, there's nobody here. He said, I want you to preach. He said, there's nobody here. He said, I want you to preach anyway. So he got up in the pulpit and he preached an empty house. Now, that I've never heard of that happening anywhere but this one story that I'm telling. And later, a man come up to him later that had been hiding and he didn't know it. He came up to him and he said, you remember that service? Yeah. You remember what you preached? Yeah. He said, I was hiding and I heard it and I got saved. So consequently, we need people in the pews. In that case, Sister Mary, he was led to an empty house. And I don't know if that's ever happened any other time. But today, hear my Lord, send me. Brother Bob appreciates all the help he can get, I know. The trustees appreciate all the help they can get. The minister body in general appreciates all the help we can get. We need you. God needs you. Jesus needs you. The Holy Ghost needs you. The church needs you. Well, I'm not anybody. That's a good place to start. You just get right down there and the Lord can lead you. Just get down there and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. It might go a little bit further than just one going out and meeting people, inviting people. It may end up in a calling, of a real calling. But the bottom line is you can do something. What have you done? What have you done lately? What have you done for the Lord lately? Lord, help us. This is 2019. The world is in a mess. It's getting worse, seems like, by the day. Don't know how much longer it's going to go. But the Lord wants us to do something for God. Go ye. Go ye. Go ye for me. Tell the people that Jesus is alive. Appreciate your time, your prayers, and attention this afternoon.